As we prepare for the message today, I want to invite you to bow with me in a word and a moment of silence as we simply open our hearts to what God has in store through this message. Let's pray. Amen. Amen. Well, as I begin this, let me simply speak this word of a foundation. Spearfish Church right now is in a wonderful place. It is healthy, vibrant, innovative, and along with every other church in the world, we are scrambling to figure out what does it mean to be inside of pandemic and how do we stay safe and how do we still at the same time create newness. Well, having said that, let me tell you about a visit that I had. I was so surprised by this. First of all, this was a visit with Bill and Roberta. And Bill had been a part of our church for years. He had been divorced, and we never looked to say, would Bill ever remarry? But then, all of a sudden, we began to notice that he was hanging out with Roberta. Roberta wasn't a part of our church at all. And the time came when we figured it out. They were a couple. And it was only like 2 weeks later that they announced their engagement. And we said, what? Your engagement? It was shortly after that that Bill and Roberta invited me over to Roberta's apartment. And we got to sit and talk. And they wanted me to know much more powerfully who was Roberta, what was going on in her life, and how could I interact with that as a pastor? What they shared with me was that Roberta had a disorder. This was DID, Divided Individuality Disorder. What this meant is that Roberta had multiple personalities. Now, where did this come from? This originated in severe sexual abuse when Roberta was a child. Most DID patients, that is very, very true. What happens in our young years when there is severe abuse like that is that there is a tear inside of our personality, and part of your personality is that person that is being abused, but then over completely separate, there is another part of you that has been kept safe. The problem with this, of course, is that as you grow, there's no way to unite them. And you wind up growing up with multiple personalities that live together. For you, if you have DID, that's just normal. That's just normal. And so they were teaching me about what does this mean. At that moment in time, Roberta had been diagnosed with 44 different personalities. Now, this had taken years to figure out that for the majority of her life, she did not know what this was. All she knew was that something wasn't normal. It wasn't until she was introduced to a counselor who specialized in this and she was able to diagnose and then begin to identify the personalities that they finally figured out what was going on and why was she the way that she was. With this, there were 13 of those personalities that were major. Now, she did not ever refer to herself in the singular. It was not I or me. She always referred to herself in the plural, we. And there was a nickname that she used, and that was the family. She referred to her thought process as the family. And she explained to me on that day that those who deal with DID have extremely fast thought processes, because what you're working with is a committee. Now, she also taught me that I had to watch to see what personality was I talking with. Her name was always and only Roberta. Do not call her any other variation. Do not call her Bobby. No. Oh, there was one. And the reason being that those 44 different personalities had different names. There were female personalities and there were male, all with different names. there were those that were older, more mature personalities, and then she had those who were little. And that was actually their nickname, was they were called the Littles. And in her apartment, Roberta actually had a separate bedroom that had been equipped with play equipment so that when the Littles came out, that they would have a place to play. There were those that were very, very thoughtful and quiet. There were those that were loud and boisterous. There were those that were the protectors. And let me tell you, you did not want to mess with the protectors. All of this was so complex. And what I had initially thought was going to be just incredibly negative, because this is how Roberta was, she began to talk to me about the positives of being this way, because it was just who she was. Oh yes, there were the negatives, but all of us deal with negatives. And then there were the positives, in the way that she could hold conversation with herself, and in the quickness of her thought process, in the wisdom and the rapidity of how she would come to decisions. It was an amazing conversation, and I always treasured that conversation, and it led into a friendship that, while we were able to be in the same town, it was such a wonderful thing to have and to share. Now, one of the reasons that that conversation and that relationship became so important to me is that, as a pastor, I began to use this as a metaphor for the church. Is this not exactly who the church is? We are one body, and yet in one body, we are incredibly diverse. We are young, we are old, we are male, we are female. We are rich, we are poor, we are highly educated, we are non-educated. We are all of the things, all of those things that make up a community. And I want you to notice I'm not using the word unity, but rather community. Unity indicates that we're all the same, that we've all come to believe the same. Community says, no, we've come to live together and learned how to live in community together. Inside of our nation right now, and inside of our state, inside of our community, it's always easy to find division. We live in a very divided time. So what I want to talk to you today about is, how then do we live as community? How do we live with the differences and all those personalities rolled up into one, negative and positive? Here we are. Do you think that the Bible has anything to tell us? Well, the question is, do you think that the biblical communities experience this? Of course, the answer is yes. The biblical communities, throughout all those years and centuries that the Bible was written, experienced community and conflict all the time. And so there were ways that they were able to figure out how to live past their differences into community. We live in a divided time in our nation. We live in a divided time in our communities, in our state. We live in a divided time within our families. What about our church? Well, it's really hard to tell, because with pandemic, we have been so scattered. But the fact of the matter is, yes, if we were to ask and to really explore, we would find that those same divisions that are reflected in our community and nation absolutely are alive and well here in our church. So what does that mean then? It means that we get to figure out how to live in community. In the gospel lesson today, Jesus is beginning his ministry. This is in the gospel according to Mark. And in Mark, what you see is no baptism, or rather no birth story, and there is no stories of his childhood. It jumps right in on his baptism. From his baptism, he goes right out into temptation in the wilderness. From there, he comes right back in, begins to establish his disciples, and keeps moving. And in the 21st verse of the first chapter, right off the bat, Jesus has gone up to Capernaum. This is where he lived. This was the center of his ministry in his mature years. And he went into the synagogue where they knew him. He regularly attended the synagogue. And on that Saturday, the elders asked him, would he speak? And so he went up and sat in the speaker's chair. And as he was speaking, there was a man who stood and began screaming at him, "Who are you? Why are you here? We know who you are, Son of the Most High God." And what I want you to see today is that there were two things that Jesus did. Number one, he did not tolerate the presence of that spirit in that synagogue. And number two, he got that spirit out of there. I want us to claim that today. There is a spirit within our church, not just our church, right now, almost all churches, which are reflective of the communities and reflective of the nation in which we live. There is a spirit, and this is a spirit of divisiveness. It is a spirit of division. What did Jesus have to say with that? No. No spirit of division. Get out. This is the authority that I'm going to claim today that says that we have power over the spirit of division that moves and lives within us, that moves and lives within us personally, moves and lives within us as a congregation, and of course, our community, our nation, however you want to put this. There is that spirit that does not have to be. Where does healing begin? Healing begins in each of us. Do you think that there were other churches in biblical times that dealt with these issues? Absolutely. And so we hear today from the book of Ephesians. Now, there are all of these letters that were written by Paul. There are 13 of them in the New Testament, but the thing of it is, not all of them were actually written by Paul. Ephesians, when you go in and you look carefully, what you will discover is that it was written after Paul. It was written by the community of Paul, written in his name, but not in his hand. Now, to me, this makes it much more powerful, because we're not just hearing a voice. What we are hearing inside of these words is the voice of community. And when we talk about Ephesians, what we're talking about is a community that has really had to buckle down and deal with the spirit of divisiveness that has been moving and working within them. And so we hear these words. So then, put away all falsehood. Let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we're members of one another. Be angry, but don't sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Don't make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil come out of your mouth, but only what is useful for building up, and as there is need, so that our words may give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Be imitators of God. Where do those words all come from? The writer of Ephesians would not have written them if this was not an issue. It was an issue. The divisiveness, the divisions that they were experiencing absolutely were an issue. And I want them to speak to us today. So as we talk about what does it mean to be community bound to each other, it does not mean unity. It does not mean that you and I ever have to agree at the same thing. It says that we need to live in respect of each other. So the first thing that I want to lift up is that Ephesians in the fourth chapter says, speak truth. Speak truth. Now, this is not about the person out there that you would look at and that we would all say, that person is lying, that is not the truth. No, this is about you. Today, the challenge is, I want you to speak truth. Now, of course, this is going to have to be the truth as you best know it and best understand it. Because one of the problems that we're running into is that we're running into multiple versions of the truth. Well, hopefully, what we find as we are all out and together and talking is that there will come a day when we can come into consensus and to say, all right, here is what is true. Speak truth. Speak truth. The second thing is this. Be angry, but do not sin. There is a whole lot of anger going on out there. One of the things that I really appreciate right now is that we're not experiencing the anger in this congregation at this moment. That we're working so hard to bring a community together to say, what are the things that we agree on and what can we be moving with? One of the things that we have to do as we work on building that community is to give each other permission to be angry. What are you angry about? What are you upset about? You need to verbalize this. You need to speak this. This needs to be communicated, but not in sin. And it goes on to say, don't let the sun go down on your anger. What is it that you're angry with? Who do you need to communicate with in ways that they can hear? Speaking truth, this is my instructions to you this week. Be angry, but don't sin. All right, what else does this mean? Well, one of the things then that this writer in Ephesians is going to say, work honestly. You need to work honestly so that you can share. When we are in community together, this is not about each of us personally. Our American society, our American culture always is going to tell us it's all about you. It's not. It's about us. It's about us in community and how we watch for each other, we care for each other, we share meals, we help each other out, grocery cards, listening, opening our sanctuary to be in life and love together. It's all about working hard so that we can share. And then what? And then what? Well, it's all about no evil talk so that we can build each other up. Let's talk about social ministry, or rather social media. How many times have each of us, all of us, been on Twitter or Facebook or email or pick your favorite social media? Something comes across, and the first thing that you do is to get those thumbs flying, and you fire off a response. How many of us have regretted those responses because we moved too quickly? We moved out of anger. We moved out of reaction. And to say, no, 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 stop. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are held to a higher level of accountability that says, no evil talk. This is about building each other up. You may disagree with each other. That's perfectly acceptable, but not when it comes to tearing each other down. What does it mean to build each other up? Sometimes what it means is, stop, sit down, and shut up. You can send that text. You can send that tweet. You can send that Facebook response, but how about you do it tomorrow? Right now, just sit down. Take the time to respond, because this is what it means in community. We have to listen to each other, and we have to learn how to respond in ways that the other can hear. What else does it mean? Well, I love it at the end of this passage when the writer of Ephesians says, put it away. Put it away. And he says, here's what you need to not do. Listen to this. Put away from you all bitterness, wrath, anger, wrangling, slander, malice. Does that describe any of us? Does that describe you? Heaven knows it can easily describe me on certain days. And then it says, so be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Are you ready to imitate God? What does imitating God mean? It means that it is time to listen to each other. In community, we listen to each other, even when we do not agree with each other. It means that we avoid arguments. I'm not saying avoid conversations. How many of us on our social media are affected by people who are intentionally pushing big red buttons in our lives and intentionally picking fights? You don't have to go to every fight you're invited to. Choose your battles carefully. Be angry, but don't sin. Be in communication, but avoid the arguing. Use open, but not hidden, conversation. What does it mean when we are open in what we're saying, when we are not relying on gossip, when instead we are willing to talk with people and to voice our concerns and to listen to their concerns? This is what it means to follow Jesus Christ. And there is a deep, deep joy. We are the body of Christ, incredibly diverse in the personalities that are found within us. We are old and young and male and female. We are rich and poor, educated and not educated. We are working and non-working. We are all of these things together. So diverse and called to live in community. This is what I invite you to today. May it be that you work to live in community together this week. Oh, good luck on this and God's blessing. Let's pray. Lord, we lift up our communities, whatever those communities may be. Maybe it's family, maybe it's church, maybe it's town, maybe it's work. Whatever those communities may be, Lord, we lift them up into your hands and pray that we might be the ones who are there to contribute in love. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.